soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. As always, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Hey, look, July 20th. I mean, you don't really need me to hype this up. Manchester City coming to Houston to take on Club America. They're calling it the 2022 Copa de Lone Star. It is City coming here. They could be coming here as the number one team in the Premier League and the European champions. We'll find out, because we all know we're going to be watching that game tomorrow when they are at Real Madrid. But they're all coming. Kevin De Bruyne and company. This is right before the Premier League season kicks off in August. Right now, you can get tickets at just $35 on Ticketmaster or at Copa de Lone Star. .com. So that's a big one. By the way, I know there'll be a lot of people over at Hugh O'Connor's out on I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center tomorrow watching Manchester City. Today, they watched Liverpool in there and their Champions League match. So a lot going on. Hugh O'Connor's pub, get over there. Some of the best pub food going. They got all kinds of whiskey offerings, great beer selection. It's Hugh O'Connor's pub out on I-10, right in the Marquee Entertainment Center. All right. The next guy that joined the show here, he is as smooth and consistent as Kevin De Bruyne in midfield for Manchester City. He is one of the all-time great soccer writers in the United States. I say that with all seriousness. He is capable of the game-changing moment. From the Washington Post, he is Stephen Goff. Goff, how was that? Was it for an intro right there?
Damn, that was totally over the top. And I'm unworthy of that, but I'll warmly accept it.
this is why you're one of the greats, because I've always admired your humility in the way you do things. Okay, so let's get into it. Houston Dynamo come to DC United this weekend. United last in the East. They're 3-5, 2-3 at home. Give us an overall sort of take on DC United here in 2022.
Well, they fired their coach, so that's the big storyline here. You know, they. Hernan Losada was the beginning of his second season. He brought a lot of great ideas, implemented a new style, new tactics. A few new players came in. But, he was, it just seemed he was losing the locker room, and he was losing the front office too. So after four straight league losses, including a couple of late game meltdowns, they decided to make a very abrupt change. And Chad Ashton, a longtime assistant, with DC United, takes over for at least the rest of this year. They started out the season with two wins, lost four in a row, rode the emotion of the coaching change to beat New England at home, and then lost badly at Columbus the other day. We always use the term work in progress with teams, and this is certainly the case. There is a good foundation here, because the players really like Chad Ashton, and they are going to keep those ideas that Losada introduced. It's just a matter of how it is communicated. That's a big part of it. So we'll see where this goes.
Stephen Goff of the Washington Post joining us here. So I want to go back to Losada, because he's obviously a very autocratic coach. I read some quotes from some of the players and some of your pieces that he was pushing the team too hard. I also heard that, you know, he made it very clear that he was doing this on a lower budget. I'm sure that might not be something a front office wants. That can be sometimes a protective measure for a coach. He's obviously pushed it too far. But at the end of the day, somebody hired him. I mean, Dave Casper has been there forever. Love Dave. But is it always really just the coach? Because you hired this guy. Somebody hired this guy. Where is the accountability lie? And by the way, per your piece, this was a very inexperienced coach coming to Major League Soccer.
Yeah, I mean, certainly there was some risk involved, because he didn't have a lot of experience. They did love his ideas. They loved his energy, his his attitude and all. And last year, you know, they did start to take hold, and they gained a little traction. And but late in the season, I mean, that team was so worn down and beat up. They stumbled to the finish line. They missed the playoffs by a point. You know, there were guys who wanted out because the wear and tear on their bodies and the number of injuries that accumulated, not just last year, but this year, even after changing some of the staff, you know, the training staff was devastating. So, yeah, I mean, ultimately it's ownership that makes these decisions. They take recommendations from general managers and soccer operations people, but it falls on ownership. And they like the fresh idea of bringing in Losada. And for, you know, in many ways, it was a great move. His communication skills, his relationships with many of the players really deteriorated. And so that's where we are. And Chad Ashton is the caretaker for at least the end of this year.
So Dave Casper said, quote, "We expect to get more from them." And I guess he was talking about the players under Hernan Losada. Yeah. You pointed it out very much that he pushed the heck out of these guys, which is at times a dangerous game. But I always worry when we say, hey, we're bringing in a coach to get more out of our current roster, right? Because sometimes guys aren't capable of more. But it really sounds like he pushed these guys to the limit physically as well. All right, I want to move on here. Let's talk about the current roster, because you got a number of things going on here. You got the likes of Julian Gressel. You got the likes of Fontas, the new the Greek player, and Ola Kamara up front. Okay, you said that these guys like Chad Ashton. Is that good for the long term? Will that work for the long term? And could Chad end up being the head coach?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how the season goes. Certainly, he has stabilized things. He's improved, from all indications, he's improved the communication with the players. It's just a looser, happier group. But, you know, there's still the issue of performance. And, you know, the other day, for instance, they missed some great scoring chances and they gave up three goals, either right off a set piece or indirectly off a set piece. So, you know, that was the downfall. So, you know, they got a lot of work to do. You know, they got some very skilled, talented players, but they need to do more. And the addition of Fontas, who, you know, coincidentally, Fontas didn't play at all for Losada. Losada was gone by the time Fontas was eligible to play with his work visa. So, you know, there's that issue. And you know, they say they're going to add a third DP, or they're looking to add a third DP this summer. Whether it happens or not, that, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. But they've had, you know, they've reached out to Gareth Bale's people. That seems like a very long shot proposition. They're scouring Europe and South America for other help.
So Gareth Bale, with what his track record is as of late and his interest in golfing more than playing, is that really the guy you would want to bring to Major League Soccer? I know it might bring some bang and wow factor, but is that really what you want to do in the future, DC United?
You'd have to ask them, but you know, there's certainly a high risk there because you'd have to spend so much money on a player like that. You know, he's not looking for the kind of money he's been making. And he's not coming to MLS for, minimum salaries or anything like that. So, you know, do you commit several guaranteed contracts at multi-million dollars a year for a player who, like you said, hasn't played a lot and has been questioned for his commitment? You know, we'll see. I think certainly part of this equation is whether Wales qualifies for the World Cup, you know, next month. If Wales qualifies, you know, Bale's got to take this very seriously. He's got to find a club where he's going to play regularly and play right up until the World Cup starts. He can't be sitting on the bench at a super club anymore. That doesn't help Wales. It doesn't help him. So I think that's certainly going to play.
Stephen Goff joining us from the Washington Post. How skeptical is a DC United fan now? I mean, look, there are some similarities to the Dynamo. Early success, both these clubs now on and off the field have had real, real struggles for a lot of years now. You got the new stadium, you got the new spike at Audi. You had the spike with Wayne Rooney, but really where are we and how skeptical is the fan base right now and supportive, because, you know, some will say that, well, that DC United fans really led the way when it comes to supporters group historically in MLS.
Yeah, that whole fan culture really started in large part at RFK Stadium with the Screaming Eagles and the Barra Brava. And those groups are you know, still a passionate facet of a DC United match. But, you know, these are the hardcore supporters. They're watching every tiny little move, and they take defeats hard. They've certainly become skeptical of, you know, the organization, given the performance, given the results over the years. There've been a couple good seasons, but, you know, they haven't won a playoff game since 2015, a long time. They haven't been to the conference final since they met the Dynamo in 2012. And the last time they were at MLS Cup was 2004. So it's been a long time. I mean, their glory years are a generation ago in some extent. So, yeah, I mean, people are down. The hardcore supporters are down, and they're waiting for a turning point. They saw a bit of it when Wayne Rooney came in, the stadium opened, Luciano Acosta was in great form, but they didn't go very far. They didn't go far at all in the playoffs. And now we're at a situation where, you know, they fired a coach. They're looking for that identity again.
Stephen Goff joining us from the Washington Post. Let's talk DC United and let's get, you know, Houston Dynamo fans aware of what they're going to confront when they take them on at Audi Field this weekend. All right, you got two great wide guys in Smith and Gressel. Fontas is now kind of an X factor, a new guy in MLS. Ola Kamara up front. Take us into kind of their purpose of play and some of the things that Dynamo fans would look out for here when it comes to DC United.
Yeah, I mean, the principles have largely stayed the same, it seems, despite the coaching transition. They like using the wingbacks to add to the attack. Gressel's a terrific player to serve the ball from the right side. Smith's an experienced guy on the left side. Fontas is playing underneath in an attacking role. Edison Flores, a DP who's been a big disappointment last couple years, has been in there as well. And then they've been flipping the strikers, either Ola Kamara or Michael Estrada from the Ecuadorian national team. Some success for each player. Kamara started the other day. Estrada started in the past. They got Chris Durkin to come back from Europe as a holding midfielder with Russell Knauss. But they have some absences. You know, Bill Hamid's a big loss at goalkeeper. He has a hamstring injury. He's still out. They've lost Moses Nyman, a young homegrown midfielder, to injury. Andy Nahar, who arguably is their most important player, this unique figure who plays in the back line but really loves joining the attack. He's out with muscle injuries. It's a team capable of winning on almost every night. But as we saw the other day, they're also capable of some stinkers, and hard to say which team will show up this weekend at home.
Yeah, and they had that collapse against Austin FC where they conceded three goals in the last 10 minutes. I watched that day. Right. How much did that play into potentially the firing of Hernan Losada?
Yeah, I definitely think that played a big part. I mean, Kamara got himself a red card right before halftime, and that was a huge factor. Even though DC protected that two-goal lead deep into the second half, they were wearing down, and Austin was putting a lot of pressure on him. So, you know, that's not Losada's fault. But it was two games in a row where they had collapsed down the stretch and ended up losing at home. I think if they had, you know, won that game, is he still the coach? Yeah, probably. Do the problems disappear? No. I think that was probably the last straw, just seeing the direction the club was going in and where they thought they should be headed.
We're talking to Stephen Goff. Let's end it tonight here, Stephen, real quick with obviously a big one. Seattle Unam Pumas Wednesday. I mean, you've covered this league since its inception. You've done an amazing job doing that. Talk about how big this is for MLS. And, I assume the whole country that is behind the league is going to be behind Seattle on Wednesday night.
Yeah. it's too bad most of the country or most of the soccer community is not going to see it because it's on a very late Wednesday night. I think only the diehards are actually going to see this live unfold. Certainly on the West Coast and in Seattle, you know, they're expecting a monster crowd. You know, it's been a long time coming for MLS to finally win this thing. It's hard to make the claims that MLS has done over the years that we're, you know, one of the great up and coming leagues in the world when you can't even win your region on occasion. And we've seen the failures at the semifinals and the finals over the years. And here's Seattle, great chance, you know, level on score, playing at home, monster crowd, playing on the turf that they're accustomed to, you know, no excuses. And, you know, MLS couldn't have hoped for a better situation now, having seen Seattle come back in Mexico City and enter the second leg on level terms. Is it a huge deal for MLS to play in the Club World Cup? I think so, at least in perception wise. You know, MLS has a representative in the Club World Cup. Does the Club World Cup mean that much? Not really. But just to be there, I think, brings greater exposure and respect to the league, you know. So we'll see if they can finally, the league via Seattle can break that hex.
Yeah. Good stuff, Stephen. Thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it. And didn't mean to go so deep on Losada, but I guess we did. It's too late now. Thanks for coming on the show tonight. Stephen Goff of the Washington Post. Thank you, Stephen.
Yeah, man, Glenn. Thanks a lot.
As always, he's one of the best. He's been covering Major League Soccer since its inception. Hey, Advantage BMW in Midtown, that's where you go to see performance, find luxury. You go to Advantage BMW Midtown. You experience premier service tailored for you. At Advantage BMW in Midtown, excellence isn't just offered, it's expected. Advantage BMW Midtown, dedicated to putting your time first. The expert sales team can help you find the perfect new, certified pre-owned, or pre-owned vehicle. Discover something special. Discover your hometown advantage at San Jacinto at Gray, AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Our great friends down there, Justin and Steven. All right, we'll take a break here. It is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, as always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
ESPN 97.5.
Jan Christensen from Danish Inspirations. Modern, timeless, contemporary furniture for 40 years at 2775 Fondren near Westheimer. What a weekend soccer we're having here. Semi-finals in the Champions League, where I still believe Liverpool and Man City will go on, even don't ever count out Real Madrid. You never know. But in the Danish Super League, FC Copenhagen played FC Midtjylland, and in a very, very anticipated game that became very, very boring. They tied 0-0 and is still 3 points ahead and a better goal score from FC Midtjylland. But they were 9 points ahead 3 weeks ago, so two losses in a row has made it a tight race still. So we'll continue reporting from the Danish Super League. And in the Premier League, the Danish club Brentford, with the six Danish players and the Danish coach, lost 3-0 to Man United, and there was not much to report there. Manchester United was just better in the finish, and in two clubs where there's hundreds of millions of dollars in difference between the two squads, you know, I think Manchester United finally showed something, you know, whether it's enough to go into the fourth or fifth spot, we'll see later on. But not much too good to report from Brentford. But I want to go to the Turkish league now. There's a gold fever in Trabzon, which is where Trabzonspor plays and will be Turkish champions unless they really blow it up. Why I talk about that is because the Danish connection is Andreas Cornelius, the Danish center forward, who has scored 15 goals and has six assists and is top scorer right now in the Turkish league. And very exciting for this young man who is now 29 and had careers in FC Copenhagen, in Cardiff in the Premier League, and in Parma and Atalanta, Italy. but now finally found a really good team in Trabzonspor. And he says it's just a great team he's playing for. That's why he's scoring so many goals. So we shall see. But good news from Turkey for the Danish player. Come on into Danish Inspirations and just enjoy our wonderful, timeless, contemporary furniture. 2775-400 near Westheimer. We are red, we are white, we are Danish dynamite. DanishInspirations.com.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, a quick word here for Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. Don't forget, head over to Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. It's over on Fondren. Jan Christensen of Danish Dynamite, you know him. Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. It's got to be on your bucket list of furniture shopping stores in Houston. They're longtime sponsors of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Get over there, say hello to Jan, the best selection of modern contemporary furniture, including, and I have a stressless lounge chair, stressless. Jan just got back from Denmark. Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture, that's 2775 Fondren, danishinspirations.com. Perfect intro for our next man, who probably needs a good lounge chair with all the running he does for the Houston Dynamo and throughout his career. He is Fafa Pico. He joins us now. Fafa, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Glenn.
All right, let's talk. Can we talk a little bit of Austin FC first? Their possession game, do you feel that wore you guys down a little bit at home?
I feel like we, you know, obviously with the conditions of the heat of that day, it can possibly get to you a little earlier. With that said, going up 1-0, we just have to do a bit of a better job. Maybe putting a second goal away and then holding that lead and also defending just tighter overall. But it's not an easy team to play against. They're a very good team. I said that last year as well. They struggled on the defensive side, and that's why they ended up where they were in the table as well. But I'm more shocked how they performed last year than this year, and I always say that because I always felt they had a good team, and they're kind of showing that this year.
I appreciate you digging into this because, you know, you guys get this incredible goal from Sebas Ferreira from the halfway line. Have you ever been in a game before where somebody scored like that from a halfway line in recent
years? Yeah, I want to say, so actually I've been in two. One was with Mark Shatovsky that ended up playing at Red Bull. He was with me at St. Pauli. He pulled one off. And then one was against us while I was with Philly against New York City FC. It was at home in Philly, and David Villa hit like a volley. That was kind of, it was tough, but it was good to be on the other side of it again.
Houston Dynamo, Fafa Pico. You know, I looked at all the running you do in that game, and I really wanted to ask you this question because you spend a lot of time defending. And I say to myself, wow, if some of that running, those runs were offset to the attacking side of the game, how do you get that balance? Because, you know, there's a lot of times in that game, I'm seeing you winning the ball and then you're looking to play it to somebody. And I'm like, hey, maybe we have this backwards. Somebody needs to be playing at the Fafa Pico, especially against Austin FC, who throw both their outside backs forward.
No, definitely. Obviously, as a player of my style, I want to be more in the front than in the back. And that's obvious. I think that's normal. Sometimes I just have to go with whatever the situation is, and oftentimes we've been dropping back, which isn't always what we say we want to do, but it's just happened as of recent, especially these last games where we're caught in a defensive situation and I have to drop all the way back or be kind of lower than I would want, and then that makes the field a lot more bigger for me on the attack. So it's kind of I'm paying for it, obviously, on the stats side and on the on the offensive side. It's not easy for me. But hopefully we find a balance soon so that I can also do my job for the team offensively, which is normally my number one job, and to create goals for myself and for other players.
Yeah, because it was pretty obvious, and no one's trying to pick on anything here, but it was very obvious that both you and Sebas Ferrer many times were deep. And, you know, if you just go by the simple logic of, hey, these are two of your goal scorers, they're back there battling to win the ball in their own defensive third of the field. Now, where do we go from here? I mean, the only target is Darwin Quintero. Darwin's probably not a breakaway guy. He's not a vertical threat like you. So, you know, I know these are challenging things against a team like Austin. Was there ever any thought of maybe you just going out wide and seeing and staying there and seeing what Austin FC would react to? Would they drop a guy with you? If they didn't, you're a big option because ultimately it could be 8 against 8 and you're defending.
Yeah, I mean, generally, you know, I have to talk. It probably happens before every game. First thing every right back in the league tells you is like, hey, don't run too much today, you know. it's a general pregame conversation we always have. And I'm like, no, that's not.
Can you reveal a guy who said that? Because whoever says that's a really cool guy, because that would be funny. That's great sports comedy, right?
The guy comes up to you before the game
and says, hey, please don't run so much.
It's fun, man. I want to be honest with you and say it's almost awesome. Most right backs in the league. You know, I've gotten to know most of them because I played against them week in and week out over the last 5-6 years. So now it's like almost every right back's told me that, and center back. So it's funny.
I absolutely love that. I think that's a great part of the sport that a lot of times we're not privy to and on the outside. And those are just great, funny, light moments. Talking to Fafa Pico of the Houston Dynamo. Speaking of a wide game, you're probably going to be on the same side as Julian Gressel. This could set up to be a good matchup against DC United. How much have you thought about them and their wide game? Because they do seem to base it on some good wide play between him and Brad Smith.
Definitely. I know Julian has a great cross on the ball. He's done that for quite a while now. The important thing for me is always, especially as a winger, obviously to stay organized within a structure, but also to just remain free in my mind. Because once you lose that freedom in your mind, you're not really that creative winger that can change a game. So I don't focus too much on the opposition as much as, you know, you have to be prepared for them. I don't focus too much on what they're going to be bringing. Instead, I want them to have to worry about what I'm going to do to them on Saturday to have them on the back foot. And that goes back to your last point, trying to put them on the back foot maybe early on or throughout the game at some point. And I think most defenses in the league would have a bigger problem with that.
And that is the mental side of the position you play. I mean, everybody first goes to, hey, you know, look at the amount of running Fafa Pico does, but that's a very mental game that you have to play with your opposition out there in those big, big wide channels sometimes, right?
Definitely. Definitely. It's both mental. There's a little physical to it, but a lot of these games you get through with your mind and obviously, you know, the tactical side is important as well. And the rest follows suit.
Fafa Pico joining us, Houston Dynamo ahead of DC United this week. And by the way, that's a game you can catch on AT&T Sportsnet. This should have been the first question, but then how about some other general thoughts on the Austin FC game?
It was, I guess, a second heartbreak. You know, we're playing another Texan team, another rival. And we wanted to redeem ourselves coming off of that Dallas heartbreak and to lose at home against our fans. At home in front of our fans against an in-state rival is a bit hard hard of a pill to swallow. But at the same time, you have to move forward. But, you know, if we're honest and objective about it, it just wasn't good enough overall. And that comes from, I think, different aspects and dynamics of the game. It just has to be better.
How much of that is worked on this week in training? I mean, are there specifics that come out of the Austin game? Does it lean more from Coach Nagamura towards the tendencies of DC United? Kind of where do you go during the week?
I think it kind of will shift in this case. Dallas and Austin are a bit similar in their style of play at times, playing out of the back, possession, emphasized. The only difference is we were playing Dallas away and we were playing Austin at home. But now we go to play against a completely different team, DC away. So it's going to be a bit different in our style and our approach. It's an away game, but it's a team that we feel if we do the right things, we can win against. And that's with all credit and respect to them. But we're in the situation and position of at this point in the season where we want to look for 3 points against whatever team we're playing against. So we prepare for them a bit differently probably than a Dallas and an Austin game. But we know that that they're going to have their weapons and their strengths as well.
Here's DC United, 3-5 right now. They're last in the East. They've had a coaching change. Hernan Losada is out. Chad Ashton has taken over the interim coaching job. Bill Hamid out with an injury, so they're going with John Kempen in goal. They have a new Greek guy that's kind of has played for the Greek national team that seems to be a bit of an X factor named Taxi Funtas. Have you heard much about him?
No, I'm not. I'm not as familiar with him yet, but I'm sure he'll come up in video throughout this week.
Yeah, 8 caps for Greece. Played for Aik in Greece. So when you go on the road, you guys already got a good road win at Inter Miami. When you go on the road to DC, what's different this year than last year?
Well, for starters, already getting one win this year is something that we want to build off of. We don't want to obviously just be content and complacent with one away win. So going to play against a DC team, it's another East Coast team. But as well, these points are also important and crucial early on in this year, in the first half of the season. So we want to build off of that last time we won away. We almost had it in Dallas and threw it away within 6 minutes. So we know we're capable even against good teams. Now we're playing against a hungry DC team that has a lot to prove. We know we're not going to go over there and walk in their house and just take 3 points. So the important thing is to go there hungrier than they are, be more aggressive than they are, and fight and dig it out for the 3 points to bring back home.
Fafa, we've heard Paulo Nagamura say, look, we want this to be less of a vertical team, more of a possession-oriented team to get road wins. You know, I look at Austin and I go, these guys are going to get road wins just because they're so good with the ball. They're able at least to manage the game, give themselves a rest, you know, dictate, maybe run people a little bit. How do you feel that factors into you guys on the road this year when it comes to getting more points, more results, whether they're draws, whether they're wins, making sure that your possession game can help you kind of manage and control maybe a little bit of this stuff against home teams?
Yeah, definitely. I believe, to any team, when you possess the ball more, it's not to say possession leads to wins automatically, but it's important to take care of the ball in all areas of the field, especially ours and in the middle. And then another dynamic would be possessing the ball further up the field and keeping it there, because then you have other players from their attack that have to drop. Guys have to do dirty work that maybe they don't want to do. And so the more that we move for each other off the ball in the attacking third as well, it makes it just even more difficult for any team that you're going to play against in any defense, because nobody wants to defend in their bottom third. And the more you have to do that, the more you make it difficult. And that way, you know, let's say the other team does win the ball right away, we're able to get it back, perhaps because of the fatigue in the legs of the guys that have been chasing for a while. And that's what's been good with Austin. So now we have to continue. We have to look to do that as well to other teams. We have the quality and the caliber in our locker to do so. So it's going to be important to continue to build into that dynamic going forward.
Fafa, last one before we let you go. Thank you very much for coming on the program tonight here. All right, so we look at you, Corey Baird, Tyler Pascher, you guys that are the wingers, and then Sebas Ferreira. We look at you guys as a threesome and a group. How important, with a big signing like Sebas, who's a guy we know can score goals and compliment you as you compliment him, how important is it for you guys to try as wide men to engage him more and create chances for him? Is that a fair statement to make?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely one of my biggest wishes to be as close and connecting as possible to him and also to the other winger. I think, in these last games with Pash, we always want to try to blend and mix things up with each other. It's been a bit more difficult because of the lower starting point at times. But I do want to get to a point where I'm able to be further up the field and helping Seba and obviously be more involved in the attack. And the closer I am to him, I think it's just going to be more dangerous because he's another player that's capable of a flick on. Tyler's also a creative player. We're fast players. So it's things that I think no defense wants to deal with while we're going at them, you know. So a little flick and just this and that and a little, you know, just touches in between each other. And I think that's where the beautiful football will come. And I have to be patient at the time. You know, there's times where it could be a bit more difficult than others and frustrating, but the important thing is to remain positive and patient, knowing that we'll get to that point in the year where I am higher up the field and I am able to be closer to the striker and also the other winger.
Fafa, as always, we thank you very much for coming on. Thank you for taking the time tonight on Soccer Matters. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Best of luck against DC, by the way, also.
Yes.
All right. That was Fafa Pico. We really appreciate him coming on. Dynamo will take on DC United. That is Saturday night. Remember, that's on AT&T Sportsnet. Half hour before, we'll do a pregame show. I'm sure there'll be some talk about Fafa Pico on the pregame show. LamontBrands.com. Get the Soccer Matters t-shirt there. All proceeds go to the Snowdrop Foundation. It's a 501c charity. Provides scholarships to cancer patients. We're creating cancer awareness, pediatric cancer awareness, fundraising. This show has always been a platform for spreading that awareness piece. Advantage BMW in Midtown. Don't forget, experience premier service tailored for you at Advantage BMW in Midtown. Excellence isn't just offered, it's expected. Get in there, talk to their expert sales team. Justin is one of the guys. Find the perfect new, certified, pre-owned, or pre-owned vehicle. Discover something special, your hometown Advantage, San Jacinto and Gray. It's AdvantageBMWHouston.com. All right, we'll take another break. More to come here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Sports. ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, final segment of tonight here. And you don't need me to pump this up, but you know the biggest night of soccer is coming to Energy Stadium July 20th. Manchester City will come to town to take on Club America. As we all know, tomorrow, Manchester City against Real Madrid. They could possibly come here as the European champions, a very good possibility that they will be the Champions League winner and the Premier League winners with a one-point lead over Liverpool right now. Mexican powerhouse Club America has been to Houston many times. They will be here as well. These are two of the world's biggest soccer clubs. There is no question this will be a special night at Energy Stadium. You want to be a part of this action, get tickets, premier hospitality at Ticketmaster. It starts at just $35. And also CopaDeLoneStar.com. That's CopaDeLoneStar.com. Grab them. $35 tickets. Are you kidding me? To Manchester City Club America. Perfect entree into our next guest. He is a man that's played over 200 times for Manchester City. He has scored upwards and close to 40 goals for them. He is a very well-known name. You know him. I know him. He's currently an ambassador for Manchester City. Sean Wright Phillips joins us now.
Well, Sean, first of all, thank you for joining us. Secondarily, you know, how important is it now for Premier League teams like Manchester City to get back out after the pandemic? First time back on the road since 2018, and come to the United States, and then maybe take us into the different aspects of it from game preparation to the commercial side.
I think it's very important. I think, like you said, since 2018, they haven't got to do what they used to do. And going to different parts of the world, especially here in America, which a lot of, as we know, a lot of the Premier League sides used to do, they'll come and tour around in America and do big tournaments. So I think to do it is massively important. But to be the first to do it here in Green Bay is even bigger. And it's kind of a statement between what three massive clubs for me, I think, is. And what we did today, we've gone back and done some stuff with the kids. We've been kicking field goals, which was interesting. And Club America as well, joining in with it all. It's brilliant.
Sean Wright Phillips joining us. He'll be in Houston July 20th. Club America here to take on Manchester City. Sean is currently an ambassador for Manchester City, but you'll know him as a player there, 13 seasons in the Premier League. All right, your father's a legendary guy, Ian Wright. We know that. He was just voted into the Premier League Hall of Fame. I mean, these are amazing accolades. It's amazing, the footballing family that you are. So father-son relationships are always interesting, and they're even more interesting for a footballer, especially when one has such success like your father, Ian. All right, so tell me a little bit about, you know, that relationship with your dad. How much of it was about getting advice from him football-wise? How much maybe was about just life?
You know what? It's always been completely the opposite to what everybody thinks. And I've kind of done the same thing that he done with me and my brother to my son. It's almost, we'd rather be your dad than be coach dad, if that makes sense. We don't want to coach him because we was always brought up that not only are we different positions, but we also want you to make your create your own paths within that game and play your own way. It's if you need help, you come and you say, what do you think of the situation? And then we'll relay back what we think and then see where it goes. But normally it's just always father, son, a lot of jokes, as you can tell. We're always messing around. Never, we're very rarely serious with each other.
I saw you both on a talk show and your dad, as you guys were going to commercial break on the show, your dad goes, that's my baby. And you said, I'm not your baby or something. Tell me about that. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, he's got it in his head. I'm still a baby. So I'm basically like that. I'm 40 years old. It's impossible now. That was the sort of thing. So yeah, it's always like a running joke. Like we did one before. This is a joke because he worked with Gillette and he sent me a shaver. So I basically posted it on my social media and I basically said, Dad, I don't know how to shave, when you're going to teach me. So I've never shaved before in my life. So there's always a little bit of banter going on between us.
All right, we're talking to Sean Wright Phillips here. This is a lot of fun here. Another thing I wanted to ask you about is just maybe let's go over a couple of the players that each and every week everybody here in the U.S. is watching when it comes to the Premier League. We all know the association here in this country now. And the world with the Premier League. So just, you know, I've always valued, and it's because I'm probably a little older, but I love the current players that go about it in a very humble, sort of quiet-like manner, that are just consistent game in and game out. And maybe they're not doing as much stuff off the field. So I go right to Kevin De Bruyne, and I just want to get some thoughts from you on De Bruyne, his game, his personality, and all the things that make him such a vital piece of City.
Where do you stop? It's kind of like relentless with Kevin, to be honest with you. I think whatever he seems to want to try, it's almost like when you was a kid and you used to play a computer game, you would see a pass, which would be about 70 yards. You just press some buttons and the ball goes there. It's almost like Kevin sees the game in that way. Whatever he sees on the pitch, he already in his head believes that he can get it there. And he's one of those players you want in your team. You want him to risk those sort of passes, because those passes that he plays and he tries to play are the ones that create all the goals and the opportunities for other players. But I think there's a key thing that a lot of people might not see so much, especially if you haven't gone to a live game, is how crucial he is when City don't have the ball. The amount of work he covers and how often he sets up the high press on the top of the field. He normally sets that off and players kind of fall into line behind him. So I think just on the pitch, he goes about his business, as you said, like a humble man, no screaming and shouting at everybody, just gets on with it. And I think off the pitch, he's just as humble and he's an amazing person all around.
Talking to Sean Wright Phillips, ambassador for Manchester City, played for the club well over 200 times, scored a lot of goals. Will come to Houston with Manchester City July 20th. They'll take on Club America. Tickets are available. This is going to be an exciting night in Houston. There's no doubt this is going to sell out. So I would get your tickets as soon as you can. You know, look, I mean, these games and then the one against Bayern Munich at Lambeau Field, these games are close to the start of the Premier League. So as much as, you know, we may be thinking this is a celebration, there's some serious things going on when it comes to fine-tuning a team for a Premier League season.
I think that I totally have to agree with you there, but at the same time, I think there's no better way to do it. I think if you want to go into a Premier League with your team and your players' minds in the right position and the challenges that are going to come up with them on a consistent basis, especially in the Premier League, and playing against Bayern Munich and Club America is the best way to start. I think with Club America, they'll be a little bit fitter than, say, us and Bayern Munich, if I remember that season starts earlier or that in that season somewhere along the line. So that would be, I think, the tougher one when it comes to fitness. But in general, I think as it rolls on to the start of the season, you have to play those better teams. They're two massive teams, and it's going to be fantastic, not only for both the clubs, but the fans of both of them to see those two teams play together, because it's something, unless they meet in the Champions League or the Super Cup, you don't really see it. So to have the honour to do it here at Lambeau, it's unbelievable.
And then in Houston, when you play Club America, you know, to see the Mexican League style of football, which is a lot of tight technical stuff, a little bit different. Well, obviously a very different style of play than a Premier League team, especially like Manchester City. That to me is very appealing as well.
Yeah, that would be very appealing. I've kind of witnessed it a little bit with New York Red Bulls and obviously the Champions League side of things that they do in America. But yeah, it'll be interesting because they're quite aggressive as well with it. They don't only play the nice tiki-taka football, but they have that aggressive press and the like little nasty side to them. And it'll make up for a good game. And I think it'll be a great atmosphere all around it, Houston, especially with the type of fans that will be there, because they'll be there not only to see Club America, but to see the City team and the players of City as well.
There'll be a lot of City jerseys here. There'll be some Club America jerseys as well. It's going to be a great night. It's July 20th here in Houston at Energy Stadium. All right. I saw something where, you know, the Premier League and television is considering the potential halftime interview, which is very much an American thing with managers. And I saw that you're pretty much pretty strongly against that, which I take your point 100%. But do you get concerned sometimes that, you know, the commercial and the television side of the game is just encroaching maybe just that little bit too much?
Yeah, I have to be honest. I don't agree with that. I think it's wrong. I think you got to imagine a team down 5-0 before halftime. The last thing the manager wants to do is be outside talking about what he can do to it to a reporter. What he needs to be doing is in that dressing room, trying to get his team to get their heads together and don't concede any more goals. And it could be the same if Man City were playing Liverpool, per se, and it's 2-2 at half-time. But he's seen something in the game which could be an advantage in the second half. And instead of being in there talking to his team and getting that advantage across correctly, he's outside doing media. I don't think it's right. I think it should stay. Beginning of the game, if they want to do it at the beginning, right, early doors, and at the end of the game, I think that's more than enough.
Talking to Sean Wright Phillips, ambassador for Manchester City, coming here to take on Club America July 20th. This is going to be another big moment for Houston when it comes to international soccer. Let's not forget, Manchester City played Manchester United here years ago, and it's the first time they're getting back out on the road in the summertime due to COVID and all the other issues that we had around that. Your time in America, that gave you a taste of kind of what goes on here in the United States. And it's always interesting for guys like me to talk to such storied players like yourself about the United States. And, you know, we have all these other traditional sports and lifestyle and all these other things that sort of make it a little nebulous. But your thoughts on Major League Soccer, football here, the growth of the American player, which you're seeing with a lot of Americans in the Premier League, maybe just some thoughts from you, Sean.
It's definitely grown from the time I came in 2016, you know, I would say, to the time I retired. You could see the change in the fact that clubs wanted it to be better for the younger generation coming through. I still think in a lot of aspects it's going to take a little bit more from them as well as the MLS to get to a position where soccer, as you would say in America, is a full-on function. The kids get to train as much. So they do it with, obviously, NFL, where it's a big college tournament. I think they could run that same pattern with soccer, where the kids still have to get that education, and the rules are exactly the same as they would be as if they was in the MLS. And then I just think the transition from college to USL or to MLS would be a lot smoother, where the players understand what they're going to, and they get their head to train every day and study every day. And I think that would be important, because I felt like when I first came over, there was a gap of maybe 2 years, which are very important years within football, especially that transition from playing kiddie football or teenager football into the men's world. It kind of, there was no middle ground. It was almost like, all right, you're not a kid anymore. You're now with the men. You either swim or drown, basically, which all kids learn and pick up things at different paces. So I just feel like they need more time to make that. And of course, when you're moving into the men's world, you have to be able to live as well. So there's an income factor to it as well. And that's why I think a lot of the kids at such a young age retire, because they have to think of, well, I have to support my family if I'm married. I have got bills to pay, and they're not in a position to do it. So some of your great talents may never have made it just based on little things like that, where I think the MLS can figure that out pretty much easily.
you yourself, I mean, you had an interesting break. You got let go by Nottingham as a teenager. You kept picked up by Man City, and a lot of things changed dramatically, right?
Yeah, I've always found, and it's the same thing I tell a lot of kids that I meet. It's not only being technically good. If you've got the hard work, then you have the basis to do well in anything you want to do in life, as long as you work hard. And I think it's in football there, and top of it, it's a very opinionated world. I think you can have one manager that just thinks you're not very good, or you're high top good enough, or you're technically bad. You could go to another manager 3 days later, and he thinks you're a world beater. So sometimes it's just about timing and luck and finding that manager that's willing to put the time in and see something in you. And I think when you get that manager and you're happy, then you grow and you make strides you didn't think you could.
Sean, listen, we appreciate your time. We'd love to do this again as we get closer to July 20th. Thanks for all the great insight. Remember, you'll always be your father's baby. Don't ever forget that.
I'll let you have that one.
You work another 10 years to get that drop from your dad, Ian Wright. But listen, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me, Glenn.
So that was Sean Wright Phillips, a great way to end the evening and a great way to remind you again that the biggest night of soccer is coming July 20th. Premier League champions, currently Manchester City, will take on Liga MX powerhouse Club America. It's a match you're not going to want to miss. Two of the world's biggest clubs. It's Kevin De Bruyne and company, Pep Guardiola, Guillermo Memo Ochoa, Jonathan Dos Santos. All the stars will be out. You can be a part of the action. Tickets and premium hospitality are available now. You just have to pay only $35. Can you believe this? $35. You see Manchester City Club America. You go to Ticketmaster or you go to CopaDeLoneStar.com. That's CopaDeLoneStar.com. Boy, speaking of that, I am super pumped for tomorrow's Manchester City Real Madrid's second leg. And I know you are. Get out to Hugh O'Connor's. You can check it out there. That'll be a great spot to go see that match. All right, that does it tonight for Andrew Carlson, our great producer. For all of you that tuned in here, again, a huge heartfelt thank you to everyone who reached out, paying respects to my father, and also for birthday wishes. It means a tremendous amount. I just want you to know that. Our podcast can be found at ESPN975.com. Get over there. Remember, hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sock. At Soccer Matters GD. And until next Tuesday night, remember, our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, are the ones that help get this sport on the radio. DaspitLaw.com. Until next Tuesday night, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, soccer matters.
ESPN 97.5.